Well, I suppose you would have to be living under a rock to not have remembered, but remember those intense rainy days back in March? The extreme weather event, which was the cause of many floods in New South Wales and along much of the East Coast, still having lingering impacts on certain communities, some of which, well, it's likely these people might feel the effects for years to come. Here to discuss the issue is Dr. Ian Wright, Senior Lecturer in Environmental Science at Western Sydney University. Ian, how's it going? Thanks for joining the show.
Absolute pleasure, Jared. I really enjoyed that music and I nearly fell over when you said vinyl.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit, well, it was only the year just gone, not 2020, maybe 2019. Vinyl records have surpassed that of CDs, so it's making a comeback. Exciting times.
Awesome news.
All right. So we'll focus on the story at hand. Of course, those floods, it affected a lot of the East Coast, New South Wales. It had any amount of effects. Of course, we expect stuff like home damage, maybe agricultural damage and such with floods. However, what are maybe some of the impacts that are lesser talked about, are lesser realised that we're seeing?
It's a massive list, Jared. And really part of it is because a lot of people just don't really want to talk about it. They just get on with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've learnt a lot when there's been surveys done of people in the years after floods. And it's clear that it's a process after natural disaster that takes years and years and years. And there's a very good chance that some will never actually get over it. And I think, look, the same could go for any natural disaster like bushfire as well. But I think we're in very early weeks still. It's only 8 weeks, 9 weeks or so since the floods. And there's a world of hurt out there.
So what's an acute example then? Is it, I don't know, farmland decimated that might have impacts on, I don't know, any type of crop that we would ordinarily see in Woolworths? Or, I don't know, is there something particularly dire there? Have you got an acute example for us?
I do a lot of sampling of waterways, so it takes me all around the place. And just the fence damage from floods is enormous in so many areas. So for a lot of areas, say the mid to lower north coast, there was record flooding in a lot of areas, and I've seen so many areas where you just see this telltale, build up of debris and iron and litter so on along fences, and often then you can just look as far as the eye can see, the fence is flattened or gone, and that's a really slow and expensive task to repair. But worse than that, in many cases it led to the drowning of livestock, and right now, sheep and cattle, they're basically, four-legged pots of gold. They're worth a fortune. The market's thriving. Mm. Yet so many farmers lost, in many cases, a large percentage of their herd.
What about in terms of the waterways, like you said, whether it's debris and possibly even like dead animals and stuff, like you said, the Warragamba was overflowing. That water that was overflowing, it must have been coming from somewhere. Can that have an effect on drinking water for the city? Potential health ramifications, or is that a bit alarmist?
No, well, actually, everything you've just said is a possibility. Look, we don't really, really know. In many cases, it's actually quite hard to get data out of a lot of water authorities around the country. I've made the joke before that water authorities perhaps are a training ground for ASIO. They just don't really like to release data. But the answer is yes. We know that historically, after major floods, in a mind's eye, you can remember those images, and it's often like a cafe latte coloured water.
Yeah.
In floods, so it's full of sediment. Attached to the sediment are often nutrients, metals, pesticides, etc. But it's in particular the sediment particles and the nutrients, nitrogen and phosphorus, that can later explode into algae, that's really nasty to get into your water supply. So all kinds of issues are out there, but very little data at this stage.
I see. What about those? There's certain areas that felt the full force of the bushfires 18 months ago or so now. Then they had the floods. Now there's a rat plague, apparently, or a mouse plague on its way as well. Is there a couple of communities that are going to cop the trifecta there? And I don't know, what might it have, what effect might that have on the community? And I guess, can that permeate into our everyday lives in the urban city of Sydney?
Yeah, it's a great question, Jared. And look, yes, there are. And we can actually add a fourth to that, because for many rural holdings, country towns in particular, we didn't feel it as much in the capital cities, but there were several years of drought from 2017 through to the start of the Black Summer fires, and then after the fires came floods. For many areas, they actually had floods last year that stopped the fire season, so there was rejoicing. But then you've got the denuded hills that have lost their sort of protective coat of vegetation,
right,
and intense floods. Like an area around Blackheath in the Blue Mountains got over half a metre of rain in just a few days in March last year. And then they copped it again this year. So there was landslides. It's, you know, for people travelling in the Blue Mountains, it's quite well known that Bell's Line of Road was closed or traffic restricted for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of communities became isolated because of landslides and fallen trees, often weakened during the drought or hit by bushfire. But, yeah, look, my heart goes out to so many farmers that have struggled to keep livestock alive. So I spoke to a farmer up at Moree about 6 weeks ago, and he, you know, reduced his herd of sheep, kept them going through the drought, had that nucleus that survived, and then came the rains and he lost a heap from parasites, from blowflies.
It's terrible. It's a shame that sometimes we do have to be reactive rather than proactive, but there is some funds there that are trying to, I don't know, address the kind of the issues that we've seen so far in a lot of these communities. And as far as you're concerned, is there any way to, I don't know, mitigate potential losses going forward? Should we see similar extreme weather conditions as far as, I don't know, policy, state and federal government action is concerned?
Look, yes, absolutely. I think we just forget, and it's understandable, as human nature, we tend to be on the optimistic side, but we often forget that we might be living in a fire-prone area or a flood-prone area.
Yep.
But it does happen. Bad stuff happens, and we can do so much to help recover after the fact. But there's one big, enormous thing that's bothering anyone who's affected by this, and that's insurance. And, you know, in a lot of flood-prone areas, people cannot get insurance, or if they do, you know, my home campus of university is at Richmond.
Yep.
And there's a lot of places around there. The insurance bill per year for a fairly modest family home is around $30,000 a year.
Jeez.
So who can afford that? So they often don't take it. And these are the tend to be the, you know, less well-off in society. And then when the flood hits, they're hammered. They're just absolutely hammered. And they're the groups right now I'm concerned about. And we know from long-term studies, they're likely to have mental health issues just from this ongoing stress and really just not seeing a personally sustainable future in such an environment.
Yeah, it's an absolute shame. We do have to move on, unfortunately, Ian, but thank you so much for joining the show this morning. I do appreciate your time.
It's an absolute pleasure, Jared. Thank you.
See you, Ian. That was Dr. Ian Wright reminding us that there are still people in recovery from New South Wales floods. If you would like to help these communities out, if you have any spare change to donate, you can head to the New South Wales Flood Appeal at giveit.org.au. And if you would like to connect with Dr. Wright, you can reach him at Dr. Ian Wright on Twitter. And of course, anyone that might be struggling, we touched on some mental health issues there, can be really damaging and it can be tough for those. Always seek out the support of loved ones, family. There's plenty of support networks out there, and you can always contact Lifeline on 131114 as well.